Welcome to the Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers Show. I am your host, Virginie Boone, along with co-host Carissa Cruz, President and CEO of the Wine Growers. We're here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine. Carissa, you want to tell us who is joining us in studio today?
And good afternoon. Hello.
Well, okay, good afternoon. How are you?
You're jumping right into, I was going to say, no niceties today, straight into the guests.
That's right. We don't have all day.
Just a couple minutes, huh? No, super excited. You know, we're in October and in full harvest, and I think there's no better way to really showcase the best of Sonoma County than bringing our amazing wine together with incredible food. And we're really fortunate today to have Chef Tomas from Bricolore and Mark Hansen, founder, proprietor, owner, and all amazing things. So we have two great guests. I'm going to let them tell more about their background when we bring them on air with us. But really excited because we're going to talk about wine. We're going to talk about food. We're going to talk about why they go so well together and what makes Sonoma County really the perfect backdrop for both of those things.
Well, right. And Sonoma County has long been a draw to chefs from all over the world, really. And we talked about that a little bit a few weeks ago at a different show about Shifting the Lens, which is a food and wine program at Jay Vineyards. And, you know, if you think about it, it goes back to John Ash. It goes back to the Jay people, certainly having the bubble room. It goes back to Kendall Jackson and their culinary programs and gardening programs. We've just grown so many things here that it's a natural draw from your corn program.
I was going to say, right? I mean, don't forget my roots in corn, soybeans in the Midwest. So, and I'll be really honest, I didn't even like tomatoes till I moved to Sonoma County because I clearly had not had a good tomato. And I had no idea that even growing up on farms that, which just sounds so silly, but that lettuces could actually be so different in winter and spring and summer, and how there is actual real flavor when you don't just dump salad dressing on them, because you don't need to dump salad dressing on them because there's real flavor in all of the lettuces that you can grow. So, I mean, I think it's been, you know, I have such an appreciation for farmers in general, watching my grandparents farm as I was a young child, but then getting to come out here and really intersect the world of food and wine and really what that brings people together at a table for great conversation and family and friends. And that to me is such a big draw.
Right. Well, and it goes so far back. The agricultural roots certainly started before grapes with apples. Today we have what you're speaking of, tomatoes, every kind of produce that you can imagine. Oysters. We can do oysters here.
Do
a lot of cheese here.
We can do all of that. And, you know, we even thinking about our roots, I mean, thinking about my my married into family, the Dutton Zone connection back to Luther Burbank. And when he first, I know the Dutton family had gone to him because they wanted to grow prunes. And so how exciting. I'm really happy we've evolved away from just prunes here in Sonoma County. But amazing that something like that is really a foundation for our start here of agriculture and just how many folks have made Sonoma County home because of the very idea that we can grow anything here in our backyard. So, and it's a great reason to come visit us too. So if you're out there in the Bay Area and happen to be listening to this, you should just get in your car and drive across the bridge and come have an amazing meal grown by local farmers.
Well, and you know, the diversity of food also is a true reflection of the diversity of wines. We know we grow so many different varieties here. So those people getting in their car can come for Pinot,
yes.
They can come for Chardonnay, they can come for Cabernet, they can come for one of your favorites, sparkling wine.
Yes.
They can come for so many different things because we have such a diversity of microclimates to grow all this great produce and grapes.
Yeah, and I give a big shout out to our guest last week, Honor Comfort, because she was running Sonoma County Vintners when I first took on this role with Sonoma County Wine Growers. And early on, we were doing a presentation, and she said, you know what, grows together, goes together. And I know that's now been said by a number of people, but in the moment, I thought she was the most brilliant person I'd ever met, because that was so amazing, that concept of what grows together, goes together. But that has never been, I've never seen it with such a big explanation point on it as I have seen what we can do here in Sonoma County. So really excited about our guests today because they are definitely marrying those two very concepts of incredible food and incredible wine and inviting folks literally into their home to enjoy both of those things.
Right. And I really like the term that they use because farm to table has been sort of taken over by the world to sort of explain this concept, but they use a term called plant to plate, which yes. really embodies, you know, the fact that they are growing just about everything that you will enjoy at Bricolore.
And we're going to have to find out exactly what that means.
We are. We'll ask.
From the experts.
All right. We'll be right back. Back on the good stuff today with our guest, Mark Hansen, co-founder, CEO of Bricolore Vineyards in Windsor, and his chef, Thomas Bellec. We're here to talk about their food and wine program and a lot of the different things that they grow and make at Bricolore. But Mark, I thought we could start first with a little bit about your background, and I know your wife's background. You're both Sonoma County natives, is that correct?
Well, not quite. Okay. Almost.
All right. We've already started off. You got it wrong.
Yeah. I know. Well, I need to talk to my research department.
Anyway.
Which is me.
Thank you very much for having us this afternoon. And I was born in Santa Rosa. That is correct.
Okay.
My wife's actually a fourth generation San Francisco girl, but her great grandfather, Pietro Carlo Rossi, made wine for Italian Swiss colony in Asti, about 20 miles north here. So he was really one of the original winemakers that helped put California and Zinfandel on the map. So as a child, really starting with 4 years old, she would come and stay at their summer house all summer long, from day school is out to day school is out. So she really enjoyed Sonoma County. Sonoma County is a big part of her childhood, since every single summer the six kids ran around in the hills of Cloverdale. And then when we got married, we started coming to their summer house, and I had moved to the Silicon Valley and been involved in Silicon Valley for about 30 years. And we just kept talking about, you know, when the kids grow up, we got to come back to Sonoma County, and here we are.
So what was it specific to Sonoma County outside of that personal connection? Was it, I mean, you weren't in the wine industry before, so was it specifically to get started in the wine industry? Sonoma County was the place?
So we just love the natural beauty. We love the food. We love the wine. We just love the people. We love coming up here all the time. And so the original vision was actually to get a little house and a vineyard and retire. But the truth
How's that
is,
working out for you?
That's what so many people think.
The truth is, you know, my wife and I realize we don't know how to retire or want to retire.
Yeah.
And you know me well enough, I can't sit still.
Yeah.
So life's been good. So we thought it would be fun to start a venue where people could celebrate life's moments, enjoy food and wine, enjoy the natural beauty of Sonoma County, and come hang out.
I was just lamenting that, you know, his wife is coming here in her summers and getting this exposure to Sonoma County. I was spending my summers in a very, very tiny, tiny part of rural Nebraska. So not quite the same natural beauty and landscape, although a farm is a farm.
And a lot of cows.
There's a lot of cows. I had a great deal of fun chasing pigs around and chickens. But I think farms are just magical when you're kids, so it doesn't really matter where they're located. But I certainly would have loved, you know, getting to grow up alongside the Russian River and being in the heart of Sonoma County and maybe trying wine before I turned, you know, into my late teenage years and early 20s, because I grew up with a family that didn't really drink. So, but I had lots of great corn growing up. So I will say that.
Well, but, and what about the soybeans? You would have no knowledge.
No knowledge about soybeans. I mean, and now I just can't get enough of them as an adult, right?
No. I think the farming perspective is relevant no matter where it is. And I think, but coming back to Sonoma County must have meant a lot to your wife, I imagine. Does she still have family that are in the wine industry here as well?
So unfortunately, very recently, Paul Dolan, who actually is a second cousin of hers, just passed away.
I did not know that
and
connection.
And Paul made an amazing impact on growing and vineyards and really the whole industry over time, leading the way in organic farming and, you know, eventually to regenerative farming. And so we used to come interact with Paul his kids who are a little bit in the industry, and you know, there's a number of kind of distant relatives, but not immediate relatives in the wine industry.
Mm-hmm. So you're carrying the torch really for that side of the family.
We're excited to get, you know, in a way back in the industry after different generations. And it really is near and dear in our heart to have a place that promotes amazing agriculture, not only through our grapes that we're growing, but through our olive trees. We've done 5 vintages of olive oil, and through our gardens, which we'll talk more about with the chef.
Yeah, so talk about landing back here and where you ended up and how did you find it and how did you think about kind of your vision for what you wanted it to be? Because it's not a small vision and not a small experience. It's quite detailed and immersive, which is amazing.
It is. And really, a big part of what we were looking for when we started to look at different vineyard properties was a venue where people could celebrate life moments. We could do events. Specifically, we wanted to do a lot of charity events. Mm-hmm. Life had been good for us in Silicon Valley and my wife in real estate. And we thought if we could have a venue where we could celebrate life's moments, enjoying food and wine, and raise money for charities, that would be really special. And so that was a big part of what we looked for. So as a result, we had to look for some bigger property where we host many people in our barn, which used to be a horse barn that we redid. But we can do 100 to 200 person amazing food, wine, dinner in our barn now, which is special.
And it's beautiful. I mean, one of the most beautiful barns I've been in. So I love being there.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
Well, tell us a little bit about the garden program, because that was important from the beginning, correct?
Yes, it was. Even before we opened our tasting room, my wife and I love having natural produce on the property. There's just something special about taking a walk in the morning or afternoon and picking tomatoes fresh off the off the vine, or having, you know, amazing lettuce or cucumber, as you were talking about earlier. So we started really doing family farming at first. We had planted 260 olive trees, 95 fruit trees, had a number of vegetable gardens. And then when we opened the winery, which technically was May of 2020, perfect timing for COVID. At that point, we actually, I think 3 months after we started, we hired a full-time farmer. He does nothing but farm our vegetable gardens. His name's Farmer Mikey. He lives on the property. And food and wine, you know, food became a critical part of our daily tastings and our whole program.
Yeah, so you were the opposite of, if we build it, they will come. If we build it, we will shut down the world. And then they will come a year later, I think is how that all worked. Although,
I will say,
2 years later,
5 years of construction lined up for May of 2020 isn't how we envision it. But, you know, stuff happens, life, and you just roll with it.
But you have such a beautiful spot. And we were chatting off air that, you know, I had the opportunity to come and take enjoy a multi-course truffle dinner during that time, because you had such great outdoor space in the middle of the gardens with views of the vineyard and views of the barn. And so it was, you were able to accommodate still in those sort of crazy months, I would say a little haven of escape for some of us to really still build and enjoy, I want to say, distance conversation. Although I got to sit close to my husband, so thanks for that. But everyone else at our table was a little further away, but still enjoying great food and wine, which I think we needed it more than ever during that time. So
we were very lucky, because our vision originally was to do outdoor food and wine, to be able to see the natural beauty of Sonoma County, enjoy life's moments outside, sit by our pond, which has black swans and koi fish, and overlooks vineyards. And just, I think when you're in that kind of environment, enjoying the company you're with, whether it be family or friends, enjoying amazing food and wine, and just looking at the natural beauty, it does help de-escalate and just help you mellow a little. And we're lucky, because during COVID, we were able to do a lot of outdoor food and wine, and many other venues couldn't do that.
And you probably don't even know this, I got to go pizzas that Steve and I had on our wedding day, January 1st of 2021, that we picked up the day before. And we weren't sure what we were going to do. Nothing was open on January 1st. And certainly 2021 was still an interesting time where the world was sort of shut down. And we got married that morning in a backyard with just our immediate family. And went home and opened Bubbles and put your pizzas in the oven, and that was our, so you were our wedding meal. Which you probably know, didn't even know.
I didn't realize it was wedding meal, but I do remember you doing takeout food.
Yeah, I came in and I remember, I got all, like, I was like, I just want the pizzas. Like, the pizza's so incredible. That's so, I was craving the pizza, and that's what we decided to serve with our family that day. So,
well, we hired our first culinary team in March of 2020, and we were gearing up for a grand opening. Yeah. And when COVID hit and things shut down, I wasn't about to lay everyone off. And so we started takeout food and wine. We started virtual cooking shows, all sorts of creative things to keep everyone going.
Well done.
You weren't wearing your wedding gown when you came to pick up the pizzas?
I mean, that's the vision I want to have. Right? You're like, well, sure, why not? Let's just go with that
vision. Convertible.
Totally,
like,
There's the tin cans, just married. Awesome. We're like, we're here for our pizza.
That would have caused controversy because we're not a wedding venue.
Yeah, right. Yes, exactly.
Just a wedding takeout.
For the record, we did not get married there, okay? Right. There's not a wedding venue, which is true. We actually did not get married there. But yeah, we were excited for the pizza. So anyway, that was a whole thing. And the wine, of course, actually, because we got the Pinot Noir with it, which, so we started with some Bubbles and then moved on to Pinot because, you know, it was the wedding day. So all good.
So in putting together your chef team, we have one of you, we have your executive chef, Thomas, here today. But what were you looking for and how did you get that started?
So when I thought of wine tasting around the world, the venues that stood out for me were the venues where you really paired food with wine. To me, the magic in wine is there's an amazing array of top-notch wineries in Sonoma County and Napa. And there's amazing restaurants, but the magic is in the pairing. It kind of elevates the food, elevates the wine. And so we really wanted to put together, in our vision, something unique in Sonoma County. You do find it more in Napa or some other parts of the world, but we wanted to be one of the ultimate food wine destinations in Sonoma County and really highlight unique pairings every day that were seasonally fresh and highlighting a lot of foods from the garden in Sonoma County.
And so, how did you find Chef Thomas?
Well, I'm super excited. Our chef joined us a year and a half ago, slightly over. And we had a partnership with Chef Charlie Palmer. And he and Christopher Hunsberger, who opened about 44 seasons hotels, helped me recruit Thomas. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
So, good afternoon. And as you mentioned, so I born and raised in Brittany, France, the northwest coast of France, and I left France very, very early in my 20s to work in some Relais Chateaus in Canada. And that led to getting into Four Seasons for 23 years.
Wow.
And then COVID hits, and that was the end of a lot of things.
And when you left the Four Seasons, which hotel were you renting?
I was at the Four Seasons Resort Hualalai on the Big Island on the Kona side.
Wow.
And
Must have been terrible.
Yeah.
We have many guests that have come that still remember their meals there.
I imagine.
And before that, you were down in Beverly Hills?
And then, yeah, I mean, it's a long list. I did 11 properties with Four Seasons, but I did the Beverly Wilshire in LA, closed the old flagship in Toronto and opened a new flagship hotel for Four Seasons in Toronto. And worked with many celebrity chefs like Daniel Boulud and Wolfgang Parks at the Beverly Wilshire. And
I think work with is kind of maybe being a little generous because you actually partnered with them on restaurants.
I was the executive chef for the property, but went back home in Canada and did a little bit of private chefing, which I quickly realized was not for me. I was missing the hotel restaurant side of the business. And through CBH and Chef Palmer, I learned about this amazing opportunity here. I came, visited the property, fell in love with the ownership, the vision that Mark and Sarah wants to do, and the ground, and here I am.
Well, I mean, finally you found yourself in a nice spot. I mean, after slumming it in Beverly Hills, Hawaii, all these terrible places. So we're so happy you finally ended up in beautiful Sonoma County.
Yeah, definitely. Because when I was told, hey, do you want to go back in California? I was like, I don't know. And then they're like, no, you don't get it. It's not LA. You need to come and see it. I'm like,
I
truly did not get it until I landed here and I realized how amazing everything is. Yeah, so definitely.
And so, Chef, I know we're maybe going to go on break here, but tell us what's a little different about what you're doing pairing now compared to what you did before at Four Seasons.
You know what? I think we were doing it wrong, clearly. Well, it's just that wine should be selected first and then your food and not the opposite. And I quickly realized that working with all the winemaker. And so, yeah, that's something we can talk a little bit more into detail later on.
All right. We are going to take a quick break and come back and get more into that discussion because I completely agree.
Yes.
Wine first.
And always.
We're back on The Good Stuff with our guest, Chef Thomas Bellick from Bricolore Vineyards. And when we left, we were talking about your sort of past experience working in all these great kitchens all around the world, but you really had never, till you came to Sonoma County, really thought about wine first when you paired with something that you made. Can you explain a little bit, like how you came to that
decision.
And as he's going to talk, I'm going to look at Mark and implore him to maybe pour us some wine because I think proper conversation.
I think that's what was distracting me. I'm like, there's wine here, and I'm like trying to think, but I can't do both.
Yes.
Okay. My arm.
So Chef Thomas, I mean, how does this change your thinking as a chef?
I mean, when you think about it, I spent my career kind of doing it wrong in a way that. In a traditional restaurant setting, you always have your menu first and you think about your food first. And then and only then, if you're good enough, you can pick your own wine. Or worth, if you don't know about wine, in a few minutes of interaction with the sommelier, he's going to make a decision for you. Which sometimes, I mean, you don't realize how he doesn't know anything, he doesn't know you. And so starting with the wine makes my life much easier in a way because when I'm sitting with the winemaker like Corey Goff and Bob Cabral and Tom Pearson, they literally do kind of all the job for me because we're tasting the wine, we're really analyzing and deconstructing all the layers of that wine. And that's pretty much it for me. Like I know instantly what to do and how to carry those layers. And when you think about wine, there's many different layers in a wine as well. And it's the same in a food. There's a lot of different layers of flavor, texture, and everything on the food. And when you get that construction and the balance of the wine, then you can match it with the actual food. And it makes my life easier, definitely.
It creates magic.
Yeah, absolutely. But there's so many different schools of thought when it comes to food and wine pairing. I mean, some people, it seems that their approach is contrast. Others, it's complement. I imagine it's both, depending on what you want to achieve.
I think it's all of the above. And it's wine pairing is first and foremost very personal, right? It's nobody has the same taste buds than you.
Yeah.
So you, as long as you know what you like, and that's why the sommelier doesn't know you, and nobody knows you better than yourself. So you physically know exactly what you're liking and disliking, and you go from there, right? It's very, very hard for winemaking, because the more and more I learn about winemaking and in the kitchen, you cannot cook for everybody. You're never, ever going to be able to please everybody, every single customer. And it's the same with winemaking, right? That's why there's so many different types of wine, winemakers, because everybody has different characteristics and styles of cooking and styles on wine. So.
But it sounds like that's part of the fun when they get to sit at your proverbial table and enjoy this food and wine, is they get to explore with you this, your vision of what, you know, the experience you want to curate, and then they can kind of pick and choose. Like, I really love this and it works so well for me, and this I wouldn't maybe do again. And that's an experience then that they know they've learned something along the way, which I think is always as important as that's the experience.
Definitely. And sometimes we're really pushing the boundaries where mm-hmm. we don't want to be cookie cutter.
Yeah.
Right? Of those very stereotype of pairings. Like, we don't want to do that. We really want to push the boundaries and show how, for this instance, how versatile our wines mm-hmm. are, and how it goes with something that you not necessarily would have thought about. So we love that surprise and I would never have thought about it. Mm-hmm. Well, that's why you're coming here.
Right.
And that's why we're doing it for you.
I will say that's something that the chef has taken to a different level. We've been doing food and wine pairing since we opened in 2020. But since he joined over the last 18 months, he's really taken our rooted, which is our daily tasting, which is six wines paired with six seasonal bites on the property. That rotates every 2 months, depending what's fresh. But he's taken it to a different level. I mean, it always amazes me what he and his team will strategize and come up with. And, you know, the beauty is we now have literally 18 different wines at Brickler Vineyards.
Wow.
So we're able to really have unique pairings on a, you know, every 2 month basis that change not only the food, depending on what's seasonal, but also the wines, which is fun for the visitors.
Mark, what did you pour us today?
Well,
what am I sipping on?
We talked about my wife's great grandfather made Zinfandel in the 1880s. And since 2017, which is the first year we made wine, we've always had Zinfandel. But we had Zinfandel from Alexander Valley, which is amazing, which is very close to where Pietro Carlo Rossi made wine. But this year, we are releasing, and literally this week, in the month of October, we are releasing our Rockpile Zin, which comes from the Moritzen farm, you know, above Lake Sonoma. It's about 1,500 feet to 2,000 feet. Amazing red volcanic hillside vineyards. And we're really excited to be releasing this. And the aromas of, you know, blackberry and blueberry and, I don't know, everyone smells different things. That's an interesting thing. It's like flavors.
No.
Plum. I get some coffee grounds. You know, light spice. Anyway, it's just amazing. And Zinfandel to me is one of those varietals from Sonoma County that really has been there since the beginning.
Yeah.
And I will say that there are a number of Zinfandels that have come out over time that's given Zinfandels a bad name, but there's still magnificent Zinfandels in this world that just pair incredibly well with food and are very drinkable.
Well, and you mentioned Kerry Gott and Bob Cabral, some of your winemaking team. Kerry Gott has been there from the beginning, but Bob Cabral was a new addition earlier this year, correct?
Yes, he joined us in January. And so Kerry started making wine with us in 2017. This is his 56th year making wine.
Jeez.
And, you know, he's an amazing, winemaker. Most people know his son, Joel Gott, for Joel Gott Wines. But Kerry's retirement job is helping young boutique wineries like ourselves and kind of scaling the project and doing and teaching us making wine. Our associate winemaker, Tom Pearson, grew up with my son and daughter, and he is the luckiest guy in the world. He's learning from literally 100 years of winemaking experience between Kerry Gott and Bob. Bob made his own wine, Bob Cabral Wines, at Punchdown Cellars, right alongside us for the last couple of years at Punchdown. And when he phased out of Three Sticks, we joked around about him coming on board and helping us out, and we were super excited when in January he agreed. So he's really taken the lead on our Pinot, our Chardonnay, which is really what he's known most mm-hmm. for, Sauvignon Blanc. But he and Kerry really work as a team on all the wines. And so literally in the first 10 months here of the year, he's already made a giant impact on our winemaking program. And we really are looking forward to taking what have been award-winning wines and kind of take them to the next level.
Well, it's so interesting. I was just in a conversation with Bob a couple days ago, and I love, because we're in the middle of harvest. He's like, well, most people are going home at night and watching Netflix or Apple TV. He goes, I'm watching three different weather stations, tracking every single potential weather movement, potential rain, heat, all of that. And I was like, wow. I'm like, and that is really the intersection of farming and winemaking and sort of that art that comes with understanding knowledge and bringing it together. So... And now we're going to head into a break, but I'm looking at some delicious food, so we're going to have to come back.
I think we have to come back for our next segment
and really talk about that. And I think you all just got an incredible accolade as well for your food. So we'll do that when we come back.
Sounds good. On the good stuff, and we are enjoying a glass of Bricolore Zinfandel. Chef Thomas, you brought a specific pairing with this wine. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
We have launched our fall rooted menu, and this is the on the last pairing. We wanted to do something playful and very fruity to match that amazing Zin. And right now it's fall seasons. In our estate, we've got some fig trees that are literally crawling and falling. There's so much figs in it.
They're so good.
And they are,
off the tree, they're so good. Just
figs do well.
So, and fig was definitely something that we knew we wanted to use. And I like being playful. So instead of doing a traditional... and I love cheese. So here, pretty much what you have, it's a savory French toast. So that's where the playfulness is coming into. It's a sea salt and a smoked fiscalini, which is a Californian cheese, of course. And then a fig, estate fig chutney on top. And then one of the garnish is actually a wild forage wood sorrel on top.
Okay.
Yes, please.
I might be speechless.
Yes, please.
That is quite something.
So if you weren't bringing it to us directly, where and how would we show up to get this?
So you would come to Bricolore Vineyards, and we're in Windsor, just north of Santa Rosa, just south of Healdsburg, about an hour north of Golden Gate Bridge. You best way to do it is to make a reservation online. www.bricolorevineyards.com. That's BRICOLEUR vineyards.com. And I would suggest coming for our flagship tasting, which is our rooted tasting, which is six wines with six bites paired by the chef. And as I said, it rotates every 2 months. If that's a little much for you, we also have the soaring tasting, which is three wines with three bites from the chef that rotates every quarter. But I highly suggest you make a reservation, come visit us.
And I would sign up to get your newsletter, because you have so much going on all the time. You kind of started the show talking about your support of local nonprofits and organizations and just your all of the experiences, music, all everything you bring together. So I love getting your emails, because there's always so much going on. I mean, I literally feel like I could spend every day there. So maybe you'll be seeing me more often. I'm checking it out. What's going on?
With or without a wedding gown.
My wedding gown, I might show up. But I love following along, because you're doing some really creative things and so much in our local community. And I do want to mention, because it is October, I know you're doing some special give back on your bottles right now. Do you want to just mention that?
Sure. We produce an amazing sparkling wine. It's called the Isla Rose Sparkling Rosé, which is actually named after my daughter's daughter, or my granddaughter, mm-hmm. pretty special. She's 2.5 years old. We released it on her 1 year birthday. And it's an amazing sparkling wine that just literally won Best Sparkling in the Sunset International Wine Competition. It's 2/3 Pinot Noir, 1/3 Chardonnay, 1% Pinot Meunier, which is kind of small bubbles. It's delicious. And we're working to support cancer. So my daughter, unfortunately, has breast cancer. And as part of the cause, we're donating $5 a bottle for every bottle of Brickler Isla Rose Rosé to the V Foundation. Yep. And for every case sold, we're matching it as a family. And we're working with a lot of different cancer charities around the United States. But I hope everyone will help us support cancer.
Wow. So drink good, do good. I like that kind of combination for sure.
Yeah, I agree. And speaking of awards, we just have a brief minute left. But you have recently been given a Snail of Approval by Slow Food International USA, a great acknowledgement of your culinary gardens. So congratulations for that as well.
Thank you. Chef, tell us just a brief bit about the award.
No, so it is like literally an amazing recognition to literally mark all the hard work that we are doing in the estate and how sustainable our gardens are, and we've extremely proud of all the hard work that Mikey, the gardener and the farmer, is doing for us. So it's easy to cook when you have amazing product like that.
It sounds very well deserved. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We really enjoyed our time.
Thank you. It was
thank
a lot of fun.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely.
Well, that was pretty inspiring, Carissa, wouldn't you say?
No kidding. I mean, like I said, I've always loved the fact that we can grow anything here and just how important wine is with food. And then you think about the role of wine in our world and our lives, and nothing better than sitting down to a great meal and enjoying it with a great glass of wine and great company.
Well, and that's something that we've talked about before, just wine's unique role in that. It really is sort of it is one of the things that is extremely communal. I mean, it just doesn't happen the same way with other beverages, I would say.
Yeah,
at least not for me.
I don't sit around and really talk about gin very often. But like, you know, when I'm drinking an amazing glass of Zinfandel, I'm like, oh yeah, I am getting certain flavors. How is that tasting? Is it opening up? What is it, a good vintage? There's so much to talk about. Or you can just, you know, shut up and drink it, which is also a good thing.
Okay, well, what are you going to shut up and drink this coming Tuesday?
You know, I am going to, now that we're well into fall in October here, I've been moving into my reds, right? So I've kind of drank the more full-bodied Chardonnays as we kind of move into fall. And I think on my Tuesday night, I'm gonna go for a Cabernet, which I don't do that often on Tuesday nights. I'm a pretty big Pinot Noir fan. But I've been really enjoying, I have a couple bottles of the 2010 Stone Street Cabernet, and it's frankly delicious. So I think I'm going to rip one of those open and maybe get Steve to grill a steak for me, because that's kind of an incredible pairing too. Keep it really simple.
You're speaking of slumming it, right?
Right. How about you?
Well, my Tuesday night wine is sort of goes back to Bob Cabral.
Can't go wrong.
Being a big figure at Bricolore now, and certainly his past at Williams-Salem and Three Sticks. But his own wines are really interesting to me. And he, you know, most of the money, I think, that he makes from these wines go to charities that he cares about.
Which is awesome.
And I've always just really liked his connection to music. So my Tuesday night wine is the Bob Cabral American Girl 2021 Rosé of Pinot Noir from Russian River. And, of course, American Girl being a great Tom Petty song.
I was just going to say, I love that song.
Yeah. So it's almost about the song as much as about the wine. But either way, it works.
Well, I'm going to picture you drinking that wine on Tuesday night listening to Tom Petty.
And
so
you can do that. I will be.
Well, very good. And I think there's so many great things to explore in Sonoma County, and certainly check out Bricolore's coming up events, you know, leading into the holidays. I think this Rooted menu that we had the fantastic opportunity to sample a little bit of today here on the air will be going on through November. And then in December, I know they're queuing up some great seasonal holiday events connected to music, since we talked about music. So there you go.
Everything we need. All right. Well, thank you everyone for joining us today on the Good Stuff hour, I guess.
Yeah.
Good Stuff Hour.
Goes fast.
And from Sonoma County to wherever you are, Krista, I hope you always remember to drink the good stuff.
Yeah, cheers to that.